Greg LaBelle is assistant professor of political management at George Washington University, where he heads up several invaluable programs for students, drawing upon his personal experience inside several presidential campaigns. For years, Greg has generously agreed to be on this show to talk electoral politics, and I'm very grateful to have him with us once more. Greg, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks, Welton. It's good to be back.
A few days have passed now since Tuesday's voting. Should we have seen what was coming?
Well, I guess the answer is yes and no. I think that if we were watching the polls, there was no indication that what was going to happen was going to happen. But I guess in a broader sense, we've just gone through an election cycle that was riddled with surprises from the very beginning. So I guess in that respect, we shouldn't be completely blown away that there was a surprise at the end. We saw a lot of things sort of going at the end, the renewal of the FBI investigation and a few other things. We know that this has been just an incredibly volatile year, but I don't think most people expected it to be quite as volatile as it was at the very end.
So does that mean that we better just hang on because there may be a lot more surprises still on the way?
You know, the pressure is on the president-elect now. Who does he speak to? Who does he speak for? What does he do? Does he continue to make the case to the sort of radical fringe of the Republican Party? Does he try to move to the middle? He's got to make some very, very difficult decisions. You know, how is he going to deal with Congress? He's got a lot of folks in Congress who were not thrilled with his nomination, don't agree with a lot of what he presented as his policies. And I think there are an awful lot, more than usual, unanswered questions about where this is all going to go. I note that already just since Tuesday, he has a reference to banning Muslims from the United States has disappeared from his website. One of his campaign staff indicated that the wall between us and Mexico was a metaphor. So there seems to be an attempt to sort of move toward the middle, but who knows from day to day where this will take us.
Greg, what were the defining themes that led to a Trump victory that got overlooked by almost all analysts and pollsters, in your opinion?
I think alienation. I think that the level of alienation and anger toward Washington, toward the state of things, the state of the economy and other things was grossly underestimated and missed. I mean, we saw people coming to the polls who had not been to the polls in a long time. Hillary Clinton didn't do that badly. They were just overwhelmed by numbers of particularly white men that no one had any inclination were coming.
Greg, this may be the most pressing question that many Americans have on their minds right now, and I want to get your thoughts on it. We've seen the kind of folks Donald Trump has surrounded himself with during the campaign. So what do you think his administration is going to look like?
A huge question mark, I think. Politico produced a list of names that have been tossed around as possible cabinet officers. And I got to tell you, most of them, to me, are kind of frightening. Rudy Giuliani is on the list. Newt Gingrich is on the list. Chris Christie is on the list. And most unbelievable, Sarah Palin is on the list as a possible Secretary of Interior. If this is really the direction he goes in, I think this answers the question about whether Trump feels the need to carry the water for that fringe element that seems to have gotten him where he is, as opposed to moving a little bit toward the center to govern. But again, we have to wait and see as these names get through the process who we end up with as his advisors, because we know this president is going to be particularly reliant on his advisors, because he's not a guy who's given us any indication that he has a great deal of knowledge or, frankly, interest in some of the minutiae of governing.
During the campaign, many of the promises Trump made were dismissed by his surrogates over and over. But they attracted at least some of his voters, those things that they wanted to say we didn't understand. The voters understood it to be just what he said. So how bound to those promises do you think the president-elect will be, whether we're talking about the wall with Mexico or Muslim Americans or undocumented immigrants?
Yeah, he's just as bound as he thinks he is. He may decide, and there are indications already, that at least some people who are speaking on his behalf are moving away from some of those, what I would call outrageous proposals, the wall, the temporary ban on Muslims. And there's no indication yet as to the direction he's going to go, but he's going to have to make some decisions about who he's speaking for. Is he going to continue to carry that message from his base, or is he going to try to move away? Now, both sides carry challenges and danger for him because he needs to finally to develop a broader base of support, I think, particularly looking toward, can't believe I'm saying this already, but particularly looking toward the midterm elections in a couple of years. But at the same time, he can't really afford to have all of those folks that made up his base looking at him and going, oh, my God, he was making all this up. He didn't mean a word of it. So he's got a challenge. He's got a very significant challenge before him.
You talked about he's already taken some of the issues off of the website that represents his thoughts. How can he do that and even begin with the credibility he needs to please his supporters?
Yeah. Remember, this is a guy who went through this campaign simply whenever it was convenient for him, denying that he had ever said or done certain things, that were documented in video and in writing in other ways. If this is the Donald Trump that we see as our incoming president, he doesn't seem to have any problem with it. I don't know at what point, though, his supporters begin to sort of get fed up with that. But this has been the modus operandi of this candidate through the entire process. How much of that he's inclined to continue, how much of that he can continue once he assumes the responsibility of the presidency remains to be seen. But this is something that Trump has shown us he has no trouble doing, backing away, pretending that he hasn't said or done things in the past that he has.
Clearly, the GOP has already made overtures to embrace Donald Trump. It's a little bit sickening the way some of them are going to him now. Is really one-party rule what's coming, or do you think there are going to continue to be tensions between this unconventional president and mainstream Republicans?
In places where it matters, I think we are looking at a pretty unified Republican Party in the White House, in the House, and in the Senate. Mitch McConnell has already made it clear that job one is the elimination of Obamacare. The House of Representatives will be delighted with that, and there's no indication that that Trump will have any problem with that. So I think at least with some of the big issues coming down the pike, there will be that kind of unity. Of course, the Supreme Court is going to be there as well. I mean, these folks are going to have a nomination to put forward to a president of their own party. So at least initially, there's no reason, I think, for them not to take on the issues that, and there are some big ones there, take on the issues that they can all agree on. Whether it holds up as things go along remains to be seen, but I think that depends on what the impact of some of the early initiatives are.
Do you have any sense of how the Democrats are going to respond to this? Are they going to put up a fight, or how are they going to respond?
Well, I think they will try. I think strategically, if I were sitting down and talking with fellow Democrats about what happens next, I think there's a certain, maybe not long view, but medium view to this. And as I made reference to it a little before, it has to do with the midterm elections. Mm-hmm. I think that if there's a ray of light here, it's that when we get to 2018, which Democrats are already worried because the number of seats that Democrats have to defend in the Senate is vastly increased over what they had to defend this time, and the number that Republicans have to defend is shrinks considerably. But Republicans in 2018 will now be defending the first 2 years of the Trump administration, and this could create a very different and much more pleasant atmosphere for Democrats to be going in than might have otherwise been the case.
Okay, back to the president-elect.
Yeah.
Greg, do you think he was expecting to win? Hoping yes, but did you get the feeling that it was a surprise to the Trump campaign as much as losing was to the Clinton campaign?
What I hear, and I don't know how much of it is true, but what I hear is that the Trump folks really did have some reason to be talking about this secret Trump vote, that some of their polling was showing that there were folks out there who were not necessarily, you know, the whole thing was, oh, people are lying to the pollsters. I don't think these people were even being polled or factored in. Again, you know, pollsters, you know, have a way of sort of figuring out, you know, who the likely voters are. And what we had were a bunch of people who would not show up as likely voters. But what I'm hearing is that the Trump campaign did somehow, it picked up some indication that there were at least some of these. I don't think they expected things to go quite as convincingly as they did. And I don't know if the folks in the Clinton campaign missed it or saw it and let it go, didn't think it was viable, but that's what I'm hearing.
Greg, I know it's maybe too early to even ask this question, but did this campaign have enough influence that it's going to impact the way we do politics in the years ahead?
Oh, I don't think it's too early at all. I think the answer to that is an emphatic yes. This guy broke every rule from start to finish, right through the general election, and it will change the way potential candidates look at their possible candidacies. It will change the way political professionals approach this. It will change the way the media covers the elections. Yes, absolutely, it will change the way we go forward, and I think by and large not in not in healthy ways.
We've got a lot of talking to do in the weeks ahead, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
As always, thanks for being with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton. It's good to talk to you.